The miracle. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it. Might just take it. In the book of Titus, it speaks of God's saving grace in chapter 3. We can see where Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's already spoken to Timothy. Now he's speaking to young Titus here. And telling Titus and what he must do. That not only that, I believe that Paul also tells Titus that he's lifting him up to the Lord. But here in verse 3 of chapter 3, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Verse 6, it says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to his hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogy and contention and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second abomination rejected, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinners being condemned of himself. When I shall sin, return unto thee, or Tyrus, be diligent to come unto me, to Nicolaus, for I have determined where there is winter. Bring Zenas, the lawyer of Apollos, on thy journey diligently, that nothing be warning unto them. Verse 14, it says, and let our also learn to maintain good works, for necessary use, that they be unfruitful. Verse 15, all that are with me, salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. See right here, he's talking about the salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And the question that is answered so many different times is that we need to be saved from what? We need to be saved from sin. Sin, the singular sin. S-I-N. And that sin, that one sin, is the rejection that many people today has rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. What Paul is really saying here is, this is the kind of people we were before we became Christians. We was the same type of people as they was talking about here. Paul is gratefully telling us that it was through God's grace that we are on the other side. And not only that Paul is saying too also, that these people that Titus was talking about right here, where they had the personal remarks about what the Lord Jesus was saying to the heart through the young Titus here, that the foolishness that they have looked upon, as we should say, ignorance is what we believe in. We believe more in the ignorance of the things that we do not know than in the truth that we can learn. And we can learn from the truth. We can see where disobedience had came. We see that today in people's lives, disobedient. They cannot stand to be taught the right things to do. They cannot obey anything that somebody else may be helping them with, that they'd rather be disobedient. They'd rather say, I can do it on my own. But they can't. We can't do anything on our own. If we do, we're going to end up the same way in being disobedient unto the things that God has for us. Because we can't obey anything without the help of God. God shows us and He tells us how to obey Him. And to how to obey His word, and how to obey individuals that we come up against each and every day. That yes, we need to listen to what they're saying, and in what they're saying, is there obedience there or is there disobedience? We can learn in what they say. We can see where the people right here had been deceived. We see that today, where people today on every corner, in every church, in every family that they are being deceived today. Why? Because of Satan. Because of the evil one. That's his job. And he does a fantastic job in doing what he's supposed to do. He's not supposed to support the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. He is supposed to do everything he can against the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what happened there in the beginning of time, that he disobeyed God. And then that's when God cast him out of heaven with his angels that were serving him at the time. And that's the reason hell come about. I don't believe that there was any attention on God's behalf to create a place called hell where people would be in agony and they would be in despair and they would be not knowing anyone and they would be rejecting the Holy One. That was not his intention. But when Satan defied him, then the only reason that hell was even created, the only reason hell was established, was because of Satan, because of Lucifer denying the Lord God Almighty. He wanted to do it his way. He didn't want to do it God's way. Because he thought that what he could do better than God. We can't. He couldn't. See, hell was established. Hell was created for Lucifer, for Satan, for the destroyer. And his cohorts, the ones that follow him, that takes up his mantle, so to speak, and go and do what he tells the people to do. And people like here today, they are so gullible that they will believe a lie before they'll ever believe the truth. That's the society that we live in today. Not only do we see why do we need to be saved, we see what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved to you? What does it mean to be saved to me? One thing in my life is that I know that I'm going home one day. And that I'm going to stand on there on that streets of pure gold. It's going to be transparent to these eyes. To where when I walk upon it, I can see my shadow. From a distance. Why? Because that's how pure the streets are there. It's not going to be 99.999% gold. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be 100% pure gold. And I got to thinking about that one day of seeing all the commercials and everything on TV. They're always advertising gold. the gold coins and the silver coins and everything. And I was wondering why that any time that they would come about with the purity of it, that it always would be 99.999%. There's one flaw. There's one little flaw in that coin. There's one little flaw in that gold. And what is that flaw? That flaw, I believe, does not represent God, where the other 99.999% represents God because it's pure gold right there. But the other one milligram or whatever, it's not pure. It has imperfection. Why? Because, see, it wasn't touched of God. And I got to thinking about it. I said, well, why in the world would I want to spend what little money that I do have to go out here and buy that gold coin that they say within the next couple of years the value of that coin would go up? But see, it's not the gold today, it's the silver that's going sky high. But what would I want to spend my money for, the gold or the silver? And they said, go sky high. Why would I want to spend my hard-earned money for that when I'm just going to get 99.99% there of gold, and I have one portion of that gold has a flaw in it? Why would I want that? Why would I want to say, God, I thank you for what you've given me. I thank you for all the money that you've allowed me to make. But I'm going to go out here and I'm going to try to make some more. I'm going to go out here and buy some gold. It's not gold. It's not gold. He'll come back and he'll say, what are you going to go out there and spend the money for? For that little flaw. Because that's what you're buying, is the flaw that is in that gold. Because it's not 100%. You need to invest your money into something that you can trust and you can believe in, that there is 100% pure. And I've taken his advice. I've learned to turn over what I do have to him, to invest in him, to where one day that I'm going to be able to go to heaven. And I'm going to get there on the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. I stand before you as a man that is dying day by day. I stand to you as a man that doesn't know anything. I'm a man that's standing here today. When it comes to God's word, yes, I'm ignorant to it. I don't understand it like I need to. But But I'm also a man standing here before you that's putting his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That one day, as soon as I enter them gates, and as soon as I enter in on the other side, and I'm not going to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter's not going to introduce me. Paul's not going to introduce me. No one there is going to introduce me to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one but the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one that's going to introduce me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, you follow me. You done followed me all these years. Now I want you to follow me a little farther. And I follow him. And then I'm standing there right before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he don't have to say anything else. He don't have to say, this is the one that you trusted. This is the one that you put your faith in. He don't have to tell me that. Why? Because as soon as my eyes look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to see where my sin had put upon his forehead right here some bruises, some scars. And I'm going to see the print of the nails in his hands. And I'm going to be able to see the print in his lower part of his body, down there where his feet is, where there was crossed there. So I know that right there is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about what he's going to give me. I don't have to worry about no inheritance. I don't have to worry about the streets of gold. He's already promised me that. He's already promised me the inheritance. And one thing about it, I know the inheritance that we look at today by man. Man can change the inheritance. They can change it. They can just change it by a stroke of the pen. See, Jesus Christ, he can't change it. Jesus Christ wouldn't want to change it. And God the Father would not want to change it. So my inheritance is there. So as I was talking about earlier, where I would spend more money to go ahead and buy a little more gold to put up, to where I could maybe draw a little more interest and a little more money on that. Why would I want to do that? When I know that as long as I keep serving God, as long as I keep trusting God, as long as I continue obeying his precious word right here, even though I don't understand it like I need to, and I should, my inheritance is growing leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. How many inheritances do we get when we get to heaven? It depends on you. It depends on me. What kind of life that we're going to receive when we get to heaven. That's what salvation means to me. Salvation. It's a miracle in itself. Grace is a miracle in itself. The miracle. It's a miracle that God can take somebody like me. Save my soul and then turn my life completely around to where I would walk with Him. It's a miracle that I can look at God and I can see all of heaven. It's a miracle of God that He's blessed me so much. I don't deserve His blessings. I don't deserve anything that He has. But I sure am glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. I sure am glad that He passes a little bit my way once in a while. I'm so glad that when I'm up here preaching, I'm so glad that I can get under the spout where the glory of God pours out. And it poured out on me. I feel that breeze right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you. And when you feel that cool breeze, that is the cool breeze of the Holy Spirit coming by and just slapping you upside the face. Hallelujah. He can slap me as all He wants to. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. I thank God every day for salvation. I thank God that He's the one that I can put my trust in. And I thank Him every day. I thank Him every day for this church. I really do. You say, preacher? You mean you thanking God for this church? Yep, sure am. You know what I'm thankful to God for this church? It's about this church and these body of people right here. Has taught me more by faith than what His Word has taught me. Because the people here don't give up. You don't give up. You keep on digging down and deeper and deeper, and you keep on traveling on. You keep on. Why? Because you know the one that you're traveling for. That's the reason you don't give up. You can't give up. I done learned that. I learned that from y'all. You can't give up. Oh yes, there's other churches in this city of Danville, Pennsylvania County, North Carolina, and around. Yes, they gave up. They closed the doors. They've had more people to come into their services than what we have. They have more people. Some of them have 30, 35, 40 people. But yet they give up. They gave up. Why did they give up? They gave up to the fact that they're not growing like they need to grow, like they think they need to grow. But the Word of God tells me something there, that is for the church today. The church today, if it does any growing at all, it's going to have to grow with new souls. A church today cannot grow, cannot prosper, cannot do anything. And just switching memberships. And that's all a whole lot of churches are doing. The majority of all of these large churches are here. If they are running 200, 300, or 400 people, yeah, you know the reason people want to go to them? So they won't have to give an account. they can get in there and they can get lost. They can say they can get in there and they can get in there and they can get out with anybody coming up and ask them a question. That they can get up and lose themselves in the service where nobody won't notice them. I won't be nobody like that. Because if I'm going to be somebody like that, then I just might as well going to stay at home because I'm just as lost as I've ever been lost. I love people too much. I love God too much. But yet they're swapping memberships. Yeah. And you talk to some of them, you talk to some of the members. Oh yeah, we're growing. We're growing like leaps and bounds. We've had to build and we've had to add on to the sanctuary. We've had to add more chairs, more pews to the sanctuary. Yes, and we have grown so fast that we hadn't even bought any hymn books to where we can put in the pews. So we went out there and bought a great big old screen. And then went and bought one computer where they could have all the words that is going to be sung or spoken that day to come across that screen. Oh man. Oh man, bless their hearts. Look at what they're giving up. That's the reason our young people today is not in church. That is the reason the majority of our young people today, they're losing out. They're losing out on being in a church service where God is in their presence. They want to be there where they can gather around, where they can go in and have a little fun. I had a pastor to tell me that he had to close down the youth department at his church. And the reason he had to close it down was because the teenagers that was there was coming. And he said, and when we started it, it really started out good. I mean, they was coming. And they was bringing other people in out. But now, the reason I closed it is because people in the church would go by where they would be back at holding a class or something like that where the teenagers was gathering. And they weren't studying. There's any kissing. There's any doing this and that, and doing that, smooching and all that. And he says, the house of God is not a place for children, for teenagers. And what I'm talking about children, I'm talking about children. They're not teenagers. They are children that can come into the house of God and want to destroy the work. They don't realize what they're doing. They're trying to tear down this church. And that's the reason I closed down the youth department. That's the reason I closed it down. And I told them, I says, when you come to church, when 11:30 gets here, when I start preaching, you're sitting in the pews. See, they don't want to sit in the pews. Majority of them today. They don't want to hear anything about God's word. Why? Because, see, God's word will touch them. We're having that happen today. And our very own eyes can see what's happening. the parents of the children in the town, I'm saying all the parents. But I will say this, majority of all the parents that's not in church, that has kids, has the children, had the young, small children, and have the grandchildren on the weekends. Do they love the child enough to keep them out of the devil's grip and keep them out of harm's way? I don't see it. Because they're not willing just to take and spend a couple hours a week and give it and devote what they time they have and devote it to their child. That they would say, y'all get ready. Y'all get up this morning. You know we got to be at church at a certain time, Mama. I don't feel like going to church today. Daddy, do I have to go? Mama said, if you don't feel good, you ain't really got to go. Not this morning. But you got to go tonight. Hey, I've been to church when I've had a headache. I've been to church when I really didn't have no business even coming. Because I know when I was here or when I was at another church, I would distract some of the people. But you know something? And I'll say this to anybody, whether anybody wants to believe it or not. If you're at home and if you've got a headache and you stay home and thinking that maybe that headache will go away, won't you just come on to church and be in church where you're going to forget about the headache anyhow. And then the reason you forget about it is because you're hearing somebody else maybe testify or tell you how much of a blessing God has been with them and for them that week, that you forget about the headache. And then the next thing you know, won't nobody be speaking? Won't no songs be singing? Won't no preacher be preaching? And you'll get to thinking, man, that headache's gone. See, God does some things for his people that we don't have to ask for. Our Father, tonight, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we can be here tonight. And Father, I thank you, Lord, where you've spoken to my heart about some things. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to speak to my heart. And Father, help me, I pray, that I can be the pastor here at Faith Baptist Church, the pastor that these people right here need. But most of all, Father, that the pastor that you want me to be. And Lord, that I can always have some standards. Father, I pray, Lord, you continue to touch You continue to bless my heart and my soul. And Father, for whether this week that maybe I have sinned against thee, I'm asking now for you to forgive me once again. Because I am human. I am a sinner. But I'm a saved sinner by grace. Through faith. And nothing else and nothing more. Go with us now this week. Help us, Father, that we may be a witness unto the people that we do come in contact with. That, Father, there is something that we may say, that the people may say to us, says, which church do you go to? Yes, for the ones that's not in church, or the ones that goes to a church and they don't preach no standards. Father, that they will not be ashamed to ask us where we go to church. And we can never be ashamed of this place of worship here. So God, Father, I ask that you just go with us and you keep us and you help us along the way until the next appointed time that we meet together here in your house. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.